the basketball.
I can jump vertically. If you look at the shoes, that's a 7-foot center that he's jumping over. You look at his shoes, I can get up to at least the laces of those shoes and my vertical jump. So we and Kobe have a lot in common. Kobe Bryant is the name of this player, by the way. Kobe has had a reputation, and does have a reputation, as being somewhat of a self-centered, egotistical basketball player. In fact, when he got that last contract a couple of years ago, I think it was something in the order of about $30 million a year. The problem with that huge contract, you know, he's up in his late 30s, so his abilities were decreasing with age, as they do. And by taking that large contract, he was hurting the team because there's a salary cap in the National Basketball Association. Teams can only pay a certain amount in terms of salaries total for all their players. And so by him taking a very large contract, that meant that other players would get either lesser salaries, which means lesser players, and they couldn't bring in another star player to play with him. So they were very limited. And as a result, once he recovered from his Achilles tendon, he played this year and announced at the beginning of the season it was going to be his last year. And the Lakers ended up with their worst record, really, in history. They won 17 games and lost 65. You know, there's another player in the NBA that came into the league about the time as Kobe, plays with San Antonio Spurs, Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan's about the same age. His contract came up a year or so ago. He took $8 million. So that his team could have more money for other players. And so it kind of shows a different attitude. There's a selfishness, a self-centered, and it kind of came to a head on the last game of the season this year. Kobe announced he was going to retire. This was his last game. And so his teammates fed him the ball. He shot 50 times, scored 60 points. Not all that great a shooting percentage, just a little over 40%, which was better than he'd been doing because he'd been having a very poor season. But anyway, so he went out with a big bang, and so the media kind of went crazy about this. Some saying, "Oh, that's a great way to go out," but some said, "No, that's not the way to go out." One in particular that I was listening to about that time said that last game is a tribute to Kobe's selfishness and narcissism. back early in the season, Sports Illustrated did a long article on Kobe, and something that they quoted him as saying caught my eye at that time, and I made a note of it. And then it came back to me when I was thinking about this sermon. He was talking about how hard he worked and trained, and he just wanted to win so bad and so forth. And he made this statement. He said, "You have to win to be happy. You have to win to be happy." And that kind of struck me. If that's your definition of happy, winning, something's not quite right there. A lot of professional athletes have a great ego, self-centered and so forth, but Kobe seemed to be at the top of the league in that sort of thing. But, he had a mindset. And it seems that, along with a lot of other people, his mindset was that your successes or your failures define you. And I think his quote about you have to win to be happy, winning defined him. Couldn't be happy without winning. And so we see that a lot in people. And so I might begin by asking you, what kind of mindset do you have? And what got me thinking along these lines is a book I read a while back. And the title of the book was Mindset. and it was by an author's name was Carol Dweck, I guess is the way you pronounce that. And she had an interesting take on the way we think, the way our mind operates. You know, and I've talked about different ways that we can look at the mind. I spent a lot of time talking about the intuitive mind versus the analytical mind. There's the conscious and subconscious. Just various ways we can look at how the mind operates. Dr. Dweck suggests that you could look at the mind as having one of two different mindsets. And since that is what she talked about in the book, and she defined these two mindsets in this way. The first being a fixed mindset. A fixed mindset, your qualities are carved in stone and cannot be changed to any significant extent. You know, you kind of are what you are. Your IQ kind of defines you. You're either smart, average, or dumb, you know, that sort of thing. Your athletic skills, you're either completely unathletic, you know, average, good, great, so forth. But you can kind of move within a certain range, but you really can't change a whole lot. It's kind of the fixed mindset approach. But then there's something else called the growth mindset. And the growth mindset is that your qualities are things that you can cultivate through your efforts. Now, there's a huge distinction between the between animals and humans. You know, we think in terms of animals as we can train them, but humans learn. And there's a huge gap between training and learning. You know, training is, look up definition of training in a dictionary, it'd be something on the order of to form by instruction, discipline, or drill. And you can train a dog to do tricks, you can train, but you can't train a dog to understand and speak a language or really think. You know, they're very, in other words, most animals pretty much have a fixed mindset. They are what they are, and there's a little room to do certain things. But meanwhile, humans can learn. You know, the definition of learn is to gain knowledge, understanding, or skill by study or experience. You know, that's what humans do. And this idea of either a fixed mindset or a growth mindset is an interesting way to look at how we act and how we behave. So I want to begin the sermon today by looking at a few of the these characteristics of both the fixed mindset and the growth mindset and see if you recognize any of that in yourself. First of all, for the fixed mindset, you have a fixed amount of ability and really can't change it very much, as I've already said. You expect ability to just develop on its own. You know, whatever you have is just there. And, of course, you know, as you grow up, you're basically being trained. You become an adult and, you know, you've learned all these basic things. And now the idea of a fixed mindset is that that's where you are. And that's where you'll be. And you won't change a whole lot. that your ability is just kind of whatever it is, and you live with it. Your successes or failures define you. And this is a characteristic of a fixed mindset. Kind of like what Kobe was defining happiness as winning. You know, he was defined by his success, in other words. you want, and as a consequence, you want to avoid failure at all cost. Effort is only for people with deficiencies. If you have to put in a lot of effort, then you're deficient. This is the fixed mindset. But if you're really something, you don't have to put a lot of effort. You're just good. You know, this kind of thinking. So that's some of the characteristics of the fixed mindset. What about the growth mindset? You know, the growth mindset is that you can always substantially change how intelligent you are, for example. you want challenges and thrive on them. Your effort overcomes deficiencies. Now, so these are some of the key things that are characteristics of the growth mindset. And so we might ask the question, what is your mindset? Or a better question might be, and a good title for the sermon, is do you have a growth mindset? And so I want to get into this concept of the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset. Now, psychologists and sociologists who study these sorts of things, they always have all these kind of tests they do. And I'll describe just one of them that kind of points out the difference between a fixed and a growth mindset as we go along. But one of the things that they do is they have to kind of establish a baseline. And so they'll kind of test people to see whether they are more fixed mindset or growth mindset. And then they'll do tests once they've kind of sorted them out, who appears to be fixed mindset, who appears to be growth mindset. Then they'll do some tests and see how they react to certain things. But the way they establish this is they'll ask questions. This first one here, I'll just say that they'll ask a series of questions and they'll be age appropriate. One of the things, a lot of these studies involve kindergarten through college students, because they get a lot of the data from that range group, because they're, kids in school are always being tested about something. But but they'll ask a group of age-appropriate questions, like true or false. Your intelligence is something very basic about you that you can't change very much, or that you can learn new things but can't really change how intelligent you are. Again, true or false. No matter how much intelligence you have, you can always change it quite a bit. And they'll ask questions like this, or you can always substantially change how intelligent you are. So ask a series of questions along these lines and see how you answer them. If you say the first two are true and the last two are false, you're in a fixed mindset mode, is what they would conclude. And, of course, vice versa, if you said the last two were true and the first two were false, they would categorize you into a growth mindset. Now, here the subject is intelligence. But you could substitute for intelligence, you could substitute sports ability, you could substitute business skill, you could substitute anything, any ability could be substituted. And you may have a fixed mindset in one area and a growth mindset in another. It depends on what particular ability or characteristic that you're talking about. And then there's also your personal qualities. You can have a certain fixed or growth mindset about personal qualities. And questions they might ask to kind of define where you are in terms of evaluating your personal qualities. You are a certain kind of person, and there is not much you can do can be done to really change that. Again, true or false. No matter what kind of person you are, you can always change substantially. Another true or false question. You can do things differently, but the important parts of who you are can't really be changed. Or another question, you can always change basic things about the kind of person you are. And you can kind of see there that the questions 1 and 3 kind of point towards this fixed mindset. In this case, 2 and 4 point towards a growth mindset. So, to get into this a little bit, I think a good place to start is, where do mindsets originate? When do you start developing mindsets? That's an interesting question. If we look at infants seem to have a growth mindset. They hadn't figured out the fixed mindset yet when they're very young. You think about infants and little children. What do? They're always in the learning mode. They're always accepting challenges, learning how to walk, learning how to talk, learning how to feed themselves, learning how to go to the toilet, learning this, learning that, and they fail constantly. But you ever see a little infant say, oh, man, I can't do this. I give up. I can't walk. I'll never learn to walk. Yeah. You never see little children with that kind of fixed mindset. That, hey, I'm just a little infant. That's me. That defines me for life. You don't see that in little children. Somewhere along the way, they begin to develop a mindset that tends to be growth-oriented versus a mindset that tends to be fixed-oriented. Now, I'm going to give you just one example of a test that Dr. Dweck did. And it was on kindergarten age kids. And what they did is they took this kindergarten class and they asked them some questions to kind of determine what was their mindset, fixed or growth. And they gave them some puzzles. Now, of course, kindergarten age are pretty simple puzzles. So they gave them some fairly simple puzzles, puzzles that were age appropriate. And had them work and put the puzzles together. So they all put their puzzles together. Then, now here's where the test came in. Then they said, okay. And to each one they said, look, we can give you this puzzle to do again. So they offered the same puzzle to put together again. Or we can give you a more difficult puzzle. This one's going to be harder. This one's going to challenge you more. Which would you like to do? Some chose to redo the simple puzzle. Some chose to take on the harder challenge or the more difficult puzzle. And interestingly enough, the two groups corresponded to the fixed mindset, growth mindset test that they gave to evaluate what their mindset was at the beginning. And what they found, they talked to these children afterwards and asked them questions and so forth. And for that fixed mindset group that just like to do the same puzzle over and over again, one comment was kind of typical, and that was that kids who are born smart don't make mistakes. That's what that one told the interviewer. A translation, I don't want to be in a position to fail. Now, they'd rather do the simple thing and be successful than to take on the challenge and perhaps not be able to do it. So that's kind of the fixed mindset. But on the other hand, the growth mindset in these kids, a typical response when they were questioned, why would anyone want to keep doing the same puzzle over and over? Translation, I want to learn even if it's hard. Yeah, so we see this kind of thing developing over time. So, you know, and looking back, I think I had a fixed mindset a lot of, growing up, particularly pre-high school days. You know, I think I was a shy person. I think I was afraid to fail and compensated for it by really studying a lot. And I think in my younger years in elementary school, I think it wasn't really that I just liked to learn, but more I was afraid to fail, look bad, and that sort of thing. That's a fixed mindset. Now, eventually, I think I figured it out that and grew out of it, and at times to my parents' consternation, they didn't think I was ever going to stop learning because I kept going to school and going to school and going to school. Spent 10 years in college, 3 degrees. And so they went, is he ever going to go out and get a job? Was kind of the thinking, I think, from my family for a while. But I want to look at some of the different ways that a fixed mindset thinks in as compared to a growth mindset. Now, overall, two mindsets, it's like being self-centered versus being introspective, thinking and learning versus me, me, me. So that's the overall difference between the two mindsets. Let's talk about in terms of relationships. What's the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset in terms of relationships? The fixed mindset wants relationships that bolster the ego. Growth mindset wants relationships that challenges yourself. And you've probably know people that fall into both of these categories. People that it's all about me, kind of thing. The fixed mindset surrounds himself with yes men. The growth mindset wants critical thinkers around him to challenge his ideas. The fixed mindset blames others for failures. That's a big one. The growth mindset blames himself for failures. You know, so those are some key points that separate the fixed mindset from the growth mindset when it comes to relationships, when it comes to dealing with others. A good way to ask the question of yourself, and you know, what have we been doing? We've been examining ourselves, the self-examination process. That's what the Days of Unleavened Bread are all about. Going through, examining ourselves, changing, putting things out of our life, bringing new things into our life, changing, growing. You know, that's the key word, grow. And so that's what we've been in the process of doing. But one way to look at from terms of the relationship perspective, whether you're in a fixed mindset mode or a growth mindset mode, is who you blame for things. Do you blame somebody else, or do you blame yourself when things don't go right? For example, Jonah. Not our Jonah, but the Jonah of the Bible. You know the story. We're not going to turn there. But, God wanted Jonah to go warn Nineveh that he's going to destroy them unless they changed. And he didn't want to do it. And, of course, it was a big trial for him. God finally convinced him. Yeah, I'll go, he said. And so he goes and preaches. And shock, they repented. They repented. And Jonah wasn't happy about it. He wasn't happy about it at all. And so what he did was he blamed God. Like, see, I told you, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, if you go to, we won't turn there, but if you go to Jonah 4, verses 1 through 4, yeah, he starts blaming God. He's unhappy. He's unhappy because after all this prophecy, he was sitting up there on the hill waiting for the lightning bolts to come down and destroy Nineveh. Man, they repented. Yeah, so that's kind of a fixed mindset right there. But there's some others. When we talk about blaming others, the classic example, Genesis 3 and verse 12, then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate. Now, this is a good one. This is a good example of the fixed mindset. Because first, he blames his wife, Eve, and then he blames God, who gave him that wife. Why did you give me this wife? Now look what you've done. That is classic fixed mindset in terms of relationships. Your relationship with God, your relationship with others, you can very much fall into this fixed mindset. How about you? Who do you blame? You know, we can kick in and out of fixed mindsets. You know, sometimes we'll be fixed and we kind of say, oh, wait a minute, I'm not should be thinking like this. And you get into a growth mindset. But then you relapse. Yeah, I can tell when I'm relapsing. When I tell my wife, it's your fault. I know I've gone into a relapsed stage there. But let's look at another example here. Matthew 27, verses 23 and 24. This is Pontius Pilate with Christ's trial there. Then the governor said, why, what evil has he done, referring to Christ? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. You see what he's saying there? He said, don't blame me. I'm washing my hands of this. Instead of dealing with the situation, said, all right, I'm out of it. Y'all take care of it. I'm going to be innocent of this. I'm not going to get my hands dirty. I'm not going to get blamed for this. Good example of a fixed mindset. Another good example of a fixed mindset. Go back to the ancient Israelites. They're there on the borders of Canaan. They send out the 12 spies. The spies come back. What do? 10 of them say, no way. We can't do this. They convince all the Israelites. And they have this response in Numbers 14, verses 2 and 3. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So many times we have gone through the story of those Israelites coming out of Egypt, the miracle after miracle, how their parents and grandparents rejected it all and died in the desert. And here this is a new generation. They come up. They've heard all the stories. They know all the history. And boom, the same thing happens. A fixed mindset. Instead of looking at themselves and saying, are we going to have faith in God? Are we going to trust God or not? No, they blame God. They blame God for dragging them out of Egypt, for dragging them out of slavery. That's the fixed mindset. What about the growth mindset? We could spend a whole sermon talking about the growth mindset of one individual, David. David had a tremendous growth mindset, but let's just look at one verse. After his sin with Bathsheba, and his Nathan confronted him, and he came to see what he had done. In 2 Samuel 12:13, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He took the blame. And Nathan said to David, if the Lord also has put away your sin, you shall not die. It's kind of interesting that that was the response of Nathan. It's as if God already knew what David was going to do when he finally had that aha experience. I see. See, that's the growth mindset in action. You see that in accepting the challenge of going after Goliath? What kind of mindset would do that? That's a growth mindset in the extreme. That was David. And so, if you want to analyze your mindset in terms of relationships, who do you blame? Others or yourself? Let's look at another type of ability. Challenges. Let's look at challenges. How do you react to challenges? For example, the fixed mindset avoids difficult challenges and thrives on sure things. That test I described with the little kindergarten-age kids. Some didn't want to get out and challenge themselves. They didn't want to fail. They didn't want to appear dumb. The growth mindset thrives on challenges that stretches yourself. The fixed mindset believes either you have ability or you expend effort. And the fixed mindset is an either-or thing. Either you're good and things are easy for you, or, man, you're bad and you really have to struggle just to get by and you really have to spend all this effort. But the growth mindset believes in being smart and working hard. There are people who are smart. There are people who have different abilities. I know, going back to basketball again, there was a guy that on my basketball team in high school who had a lot of natural abilities, not only in sports, but he was really a smart guy. And it so happened that we both went to the same college when we graduated, NC State. And we weren't roommates or anything, but I would see him quite often. And we were in the same dorm. And first semester, I was taking calculus. Yeah, calculus is a hard course. You got to really get into it. And so I was spending a lot of time studying calculus. among other things I was taking. But he wasn't studying much. And sometimes I go ask him questions about things, but he just seemed to do it without studying. You know, so he did have a different level of intelligence than me. But it didn't mean that he was a better person than me or anything like that. But some people would take that attitude, fixed mindset, say, oh, he's good, I'm bad, because he's smarter than me. You know, we both ended up pretty much the same. He went through, got his master's degree, both in engineering. I went through and got a master's degree. He got his PhD in nuclear engineering. I got my PhD in civil engineering. You know, we have all, it wasn't an either or thing. It was a both, being smart and working hard. And he had to work hard once he got up into the upper level courses. You know, it wasn't always just, he just didn't kind of absorb it. He had to work hard too. So that's a difference between the fixed and the growth mindset. Another difference, in the fixed mindset opts for success over growth to feel superior. If you can have a quick success, you don't really worry about growth, as opposed to the growth mindset, which may forego a short-term success for long-term growth and success. Now, let's look at some examples of that's the last one. Esau, Genesis 26:32. Esau said, look, I'm about to die, so what profit shall this birthright be to me? Give me the bowl of soup and I'll give you the birthright. He had short-term success, but he was not able to look at long-term success and see down the road. See, that's the fixed mindset. His brother, on the other hand, was looking long-term. Soup wasn't that big a deal to him. That birthright meant a future. So you see the difference. Another example from the New Testament, the scribes and the Pharisees. Look at Luke 5 and verse 29. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. But their scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? See, the fixed mindset is one where they're sinners and they're saints. You're kind of making these definitions, sinners versus saints. And saints don't sit down with sinners. See, that's the fixed mindset. And that's the way these Pharisees operated over and over again. You know, they didn't want to deal with tax collectors, adulterers, and people who had sins. Of course, Christ kind of shut them up when he basically said, I'm here because that's where the sinners are. They're the ones that need the help. The righteous don't. You know, I see this kind of mindset. Again, I'll use myself as an example. And I'll use basketball as an example. I don't know why I keep talking about basketball. But as you know, I play basketball a number of times a week. And they pick up games. And so we have to choose up sides. And so the goal is to kind of divide up equally. And we kind of know how we play together a lot. So we know the abilities of each other. And so we try to divide up equally so the games are close and competitive and so forth. But every now and then, through the luck of the choosing up or the draw, I get on a really bad team. A really bad team. And I'm thinking, we are going to get clobbered in this game. And, you know, my mindset becomes, we're bad. And it affects me. I don't play as well. I don't try as hard. Let's get this game. You know, we play about 15-minute games, then we'll take a break and then play another game. And if things are too lopsided, we'll rearrange sides. And I'm thinking, let's get through this game and let's rearrange the sides. I want to be on that other team. See, that's kind of the fixed mindset. But there's one or two people, and I admire them, in my circle of basketball playing buddies. They like that. They like to be on the underdog team. I played on some teams where I was on the better team. This one of these people were on the bad team. And so after a game or two, we'd suggest, hey, let's even it up. And this guy said, no, we're going to come back. We're going to win. You know, the challenge was what he lived for. Of course, who really cares who wins a 15-minute basketball game anyway? But see, there's different mindsets, and I fall into that trap of having a fixed mindset. And I have to think, I've got to rise to the challenge here. And sometimes at the end of a game, we win, and I say, how in the world did this team beat that team? So that's you can measure how you approach challenges as whether you're in a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. Let's look at attitude towards your own abilities in general. The fixed mindset, feel pretty much flawless. The growth mindset recognizes weaknesses, improves them over time. The fixed mindset expects ability to show up on its own. It's just there. The growth mindset believes in ability through hard work. The fixed mindset believes natural abilities make you special, superior, and entitled. That reminds me of something. I'm afraid I'm going to have to call out a member of the congregation. And that's Mr. Tom Vidier. Remember that sermonette he gave back in the first Holy Day? He was talking about the airplane, and he was talking about the pressures and the skin pressure, and he's talking about these square windows and the corners and the stress concentrations and all that kind of stuff. That's structural engineering. The guy was I am the structural engineer of this congregation. I have a professional engineering license that says I'm a structural engineer. I'm the one that preaches on structural engineering. He doesn't have any license. What's he doing up here preaching about structural engineering? Believing that your abilities make you special. Not that I would ever think that. But it was a very good sermon. But you can have that attitude. Boy, I'm special because I did this or I did that. But the growth mindset, hard work leads to exceptionalism, but doesn't make you a better person. Now, there's a few more here. Let's look at a few more towards your own abilities. Believes failures define yourself. That's the fixed mindset. Growth mindset, failures are learning experiences. Fixed mindset believes when you're unsuccessful, you're a failure. The growth mindset believes when you're unsuccessful, you need to learn and grow. But it boils down to these feelings of superiority. The fixed mindset believes, hey, because I'm a success, I am great. I think that was Kobe's mindset, basically, over the years. And a lot of sports figures have that mindset, I believe. But let's look at this idea of superiority for a moment here. Go back to the scribes and the Pharisees in Luke 18:11. Familiar scripture. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Now there is a fixed mindset. I am good. I'm great. Contrast that with Jesus Christ's mindset. Now, Christ could have legitimately stood up and said, I am good. Matter of fact, he said just the opposite, didn't he? He said, don't call me good. See, Christ as a human being went through a growth process. He never sinned, but he had to grow as the challenges, and as he got older and finally got into his ministry and so forth, the challenges got more and more difficult. He was growing as a human being. You know, so he had that growth mindset, although, you know, he was superior. Proverbs 26, verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Now, that's where the fixed mindset will leave you. Let's look at another part of the fixed growth mindsets. Attitude towards self-examination. This is Days of Unleavened Bread. We've been examining ourselves, looking at ourselves, deciding how you're doing. You know, if you kind of, boy, I'm doing pretty good. You may be in a fixed mindset. And if you're thinking, I'm making some progress, you tend to be more in a growth mindset. But let's look at a few of the distinctions between the fixed and growth mindset. The fixed mindset believes tests measure how smart you are. You ever have taken an IQ test? Well, all of you have taken standard tests in school, and you get some score, college entrance exams and so forth. You get some score from your ACT or SAT, and that stamps you. I'm either smart or I'm dumb. Or maybe I'm just average. But, you know, the fixed mindset, you know, says, okay, that's it. I'm now defined. Whatever your score is on some test, that defines me. But the growth mindset believes tests simply measure an important ability that you have at that time that obviously can change. The fixed mindset believes tests measure how good you are. See, they're accomplishing something on a test as being good, as being you. Good, I'm bad, I'm good, I'm a success, I'm a failure. You know, they equate it to that instead of, as the growth mindset believes the test measures how well you're progressing. The fixed mindset believes your potential can be predicted. Yeah, it believes that, you're not going to make do much in life. Because you're kind of dumb, you know, you're going to be a failure kind of thing. Ah, oh, but this guy, boy, he's brilliant. He's going to be a president one day. You know, that's the difference between the fixed and the growth mindset. The growth mindset believes you cannot know where effort and time will take you. You simply don't know. So it kind of puts you in a in a right mindset in terms of, well, why trials? One of the reasons is to get us focused on a growth mindset. You know, trials don't define us as being bad or good, but they do force us into a growth mindset. You know, I really believe, having been in the church for so many years, that and seeing people come and go, leave the church and just kind of give up on religion and things like that over the years, that really there's a mindset there. There's a fixed mindset that kind of kicks in and the person gets locked into. And they lose the motivation to grow. And you either grow or you die spiritually. There's no in between. Now let's look at the idea of tests. You know, we're all tested from time to time. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. For to this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. So God tests us to see whether we're going to be obedient in all things. Okay, now, you know, so every time we get one of these tests, we're being measured. And if our mindset is one, boy, I'm not obedient, I'm just bad, you're not going to grow. But the growth mindset, okay, boy, I messed that one up. Now I've got to learn from this, and I've got to move on and do better. I've got to change. Are you changing? Is your mindset a growth mindset that picks up on these things and says, I've got to do this differently from now on? 2 Corinthians 13:5. We read this often during this lead up to the spring holy days. Examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you're disqualified? Now, see, look, it doesn't say here. It doesn't say examine yourself as to whether you're good or bad. It didn't say that. It picks out a specific ability here, the ability to have faith in God. That's something that grows. You build faith. You know, when you came into the church, you were baptized. You had some faith, but it was pretty much blind faith that led you to be baptized. And then as you go through trials and problems and so forth, and you grow, and you see God's hand in your life, then that faith begins to grow. And it's an ability, you might say, to have faith. And it's not a good or bad thing. It's simply a growing ability. Increasing your faith is part of growing. You know, in any area, whether it's faith or something else, spiritually, if you're doing a poor job, reset your mindset. Think about where you are and what you're doing and how it needs to change. Revelation 3:10. This is a message to the Philadelphia church. Because you have kept my command to persevere. So here is an ability. The ability to persevere. Now, it's again, it doesn't say because you've been good. It says because you have persevered, you have developed a characteristic in your personality of perseverance. I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Oh yeah, that's tests. They come. And they come on us. And they fall on us. And God wants to see how we're doing. Are we growing? Do we have a growth mindset? Do we accept the challenge? 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We read this at Passover. It doesn't say, let a man examine himself and decide, are you good or bad? And if you're bad, get out of here. You can't take the Passover. But if you're good, come on in and take the Passover. See, that's not the message. The message is to go through the examination, reset your mindset. If you see that there's weaknesses and problems, reset your mindset, accept the challenge to grow, and come in and take the Passover. See the difference there? All right, what about attitude towards practice and study? The fixed mindset gives up after a failure. Man, I can't do math. I'm going to go to some other curriculum. I'm going to go to English. I can't do math. I'm going to study English in college. You know, as a college teacher, I see a lot of people who they struggled, particularly in engineering. You come in and an engineering program is math and science. Over 2 years of just math and science. You don't see any engineering courses your first 2 years. All you see is math. Calculus, differential equations, chemistry, physics, all these things, boom, boom, boom. Where's the engineering? You don't know what engineering is. All you know is all the science and math. And so some people say, man, this is hard. Instead of working their way through it, they say, okay, I've got to get out of this. And they never get into the engineering curriculum. Never make it to the first engineering course. You know, they kind of give up. You know, they say, well, I'm a failure. I can't do this. Instead of having a growth mindset to grow, you know, work harder to improve after failure. And I see some, I saw some students that I really, really highly respected because they had a growth mindset. I've seen a few students particularly come through that I first see most students, or did when I was teaching, about their third semester. First semester of their sophomore year is about the time that I usually saw them for the first time in class. And you kind of know which ones are the sharps. You know, you kind of make predictions which one's going to be successful, which one's going to struggle. And I've seen some, I thought, this kid's going to never make it through engineering. But he hangs in there, and he hangs in there. And then I see him in upper level. Here he is. Oh, he's still here. I'm thinking this. He shows up in a junior level structural analysis class. I'm thinking, man, he's still here. And he's a C student, and he struggles to get C, but he just keeps going and keeps going, and he gets there, and he graduates. And back when I was the department chairman, I would go to every graduation. I had graduation at the end of each semester, and I'd go to the graduation and march in with our civil engineering students, and I'd see these kids that really, really worked hard to get to where they were, and they got their degree. And went on to successful careers. You know, it's the very rewarding part of teaching. But I saw the growth mindset in action. And I saw the fixed mindset in action. The fixed mindset lives the misery of failure. Once you fail, it's there forever. Where the growth mindset works harder to improve after a failure. Here's a good one. A fixed mindset believes success of others diminishes you. The growth mindset, success of others excites and inspires you. The growth fixed mindset believes effort is only for people with deficiencies. The growth mindset believes effort overcomes deficiencies. You know, so this is all well and good. Yeah, we got these mindsets, but how do you move to a growth mindset? How do you do it? I'm going to give you a few pointers. They're not numbered here, but just a few pointers on moving from the fixed mindset to the growth mindset. Because we move in and out. You can move, you know, have a growth mindset for a while, then we fall back into the fixed mindset. We have to kick ourselves back into a growth mindset again. The growth mindset is based fundamentally on a belief in change. And isn't that what the New Covenant is all about? Isn't that what the message of Jesus Christ was all about? Isn't the whole New Testament over and over and over again saying change, 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 change? You've got to have belief in change. Otherwise, you're not going to have a growth mindset. What does the world say? The world says, just as I am. Let him. Just as I am. I looked it up. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me to come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am. Just as I am, without one, just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within and without, but here I am, God, just as I am, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, waiting not to rid my soul of one dark spot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Yeah, look what it says here. Waiting not to rid myself of something, take me just as I am. It continues on, just as I am, poor, wretched, and blind. Sight's riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, will welcome, pardon, cleanse, and relieve. Because thou promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am. You don't have to change, is the fixed mindset. The world, the Christian world, has a fixed mindset. They don't believe you need to change. Just accept Christ as your Savior. Another point. Change doesn't mean that old beliefs are removed. Rather, new beliefs are added. And this is the problem. You know, I hate to be critical of God. But wouldn't it have been pretty good if it had a delete button that we could just hit to delete something from our mind? You know, boop, just hit that delete button, and the old mindset is gone. But that's not the way it works. We still have all those old things sitting in our mind. And so our new beliefs join in. And so how do these new beliefs become controlling in our mind over the old beliefs? You know, well, first we have to prove and be absolutely certain of these beliefs as we're growing and coming to more deeply understand. We have to be sure we are understanding what God is teaching us and that we're growing stronger as a result. And so then our changing beliefs as we grow kind of puts away those old beliefs that go all the way back to kindergarten, maybe. Maybe you had a fixed mindset. Maybe there was a time when, your life wasn't so hot. Your parents didn't do a good job. And you had a mindset of, I'm bad. Those things don't go away very easily. They have to be replaced by something, and it takes time. It's a challenge. You know, I've talked about our intuitive mind versus our analytical mind, but that intuitive part of our mind can be a problem. It can be a problem because it's kind of running on its own. You know, we're sitting here and you're analyzing things I'm saying. Meanwhile, that intuitive mind is just spinning like a wheel in your head and kicking thoughts in. All kinds of thoughts just kind of pop into your mind from time to time. So where did that thought come from? It came from your intuitive mind, which is trying to make sense of things that going back as far as it can remember. And so it's got all this jumble of things, you know, it's constantly monitoring, it's interpreting, and it can put extreme interpretations on things and kick it into your conscious memory. You know, like, I'm incompetent. Or, I'll never get over this. Or, my life is over. My life, you know, teenagers, my life is over. You know, that's our intuitive mind kicking in because we all come from a fixed mindset at some point in our life. And we're moving into a growth mindset. And so you can't just hit the delete button and make those kind of thoughts go away. You have to grow and overcome them. Realize that the fixed mindset is focused on judging. That's one of the real keys between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. The fixed mindset is focused on judging. The growth mindset is focused on change, on growing. You know, things like the fixed mindset, I'm a loser. That's a judgment. Or I'm a better person than they are. Or I'm a bad husband. Or my friend is selfish. See, all these are attributes of a fixed mindset, and it's making judgments. It's making judgments. We have to realize that the growth mindset is more attuned to implications for learning and constructive action. See, that fixed mindset doesn't make judgments like he's stupid, he's smart, dumb, whatever. It looks in terms of learning and constructive action. What can I learn from this? How can I improve? How can I help my friend do better? See, all these kinds of things are, you might say, proactive in the sense of change, improve, grow, rather than judgmental. That's just the way things are. I'm stupid. He's smart. I can't do anything about it. That's the way it is. That's the difference between the two mindsets. And so a good detector, you know, I said one way is to detect if you've got a fixed mindset is who do you blame? Yourself or others. You blame others, you're in a fixed mode. You blame yourself, you're in a growth mode. You know, the same can be said about judge. Do you judge or do you look for solutions? I heard a lecture one time years ago, and it stuck with me that judgment comes from bad experiences. Experience comes from bad judgments. There's a lot to that saying. You know, you have to think about it for a minute. You have trials. And judgment comes from those trials, from those bad experiences. But then experience comes from the bad judgments you make. It's a process. It's a growth process. And a lot of people don't have the mindset to keep growing. The scripture when we talk about judging is in Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So we read this verse and we're thinking, okay, yeah, don't want to judge others because whatever standards you set for judging others, you're going to be judged by the same standards. You're kind of thinking outward more than inward here. Don't judge others. But then in verse 3, Christ turns it back onto ourselves and says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck out of your eye and look at a plank, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. See, so Christ kind of turns it back on ourselves. He says, you've got to have a growth mindset here. You know, the focus has got to be you. That's where the problems are, and that's the challenge that you have to change. You know, you may not be able to change the guy with the speck, but you can sure change yourself. See, so don't spend your time judging. Spend your time changing. And another thing, you know, holding a fixed mindset is usually for a reason. It just doesn't happen for no reason that you have a fixed mindset. It's like children are born with a growth mindset, but then they start learning fixed mindsets as they move through life. You know, It may be that as a youngster, an individual might have found out that for his self-esteem, he wants a path of love and respect from his parents or whatever, that he develops this fixed mindset that he's good, or he's got to be good, or he's a failure. You know, these things go way back. You know, we've had fixed mindsets for reasons. So changing to a growth mindset is not easy. Why do you think we do the days of unleavened bread year after year after year after year 49 years I've gone a week without eating unleavened bread. Well, maybe not all 49. I know I slipped up a few times. But by and large, nobody, and I love bread. 49 years. Isn't that enough, God? If I haven't figured it out by now, is another year of unleavened bread going to make me change? Well, God's answer is, yeah. It better. It better. You know who had a fixed mindset? Might surprise you. The apostles. The apostles had to come out of a fixed mindset. Matthew 18, verse 1. At that time, the apostles came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" We're going to be great, but which one's going to be the greatest? That's what we want to know. That's where we're at here. We want to be great. And who's going to be the greatest? What did Christ do? And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in their midst and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children." Now, he goes back and points to little children. Now, obviously, he doesn't mean he wants you to be a stupid, dumb little kid that doesn't know anything. That's not what he's talking about. What do innocent little children have? The growth mindset. They fail, they get up, they do it again, and they learn and they grow. They have the growth mindset. "So surely I say, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven, much less be the greatest." It doesn't say that part. "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Yeah, you're humble. You see your failures and you try to change. Wasn't just the apostles that had to develop a new mindset. They were in the process of doing, and they did. Boy, did they develop a growth mindset. We see the change as we move from the Gospels into the Acts and so forth. We see the change. They figured it out. Of course, they had God's Spirit. Can't do it without God's Spirit. But why did the apostles have a fixed mindset to start with? What were their examples growing up? What was their example going well into adulthood? Who were the leaders? The scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees. Matthew 23 describes the fixed mindset of the scribes and Pharisees. I'm just going to look at a few portions here. Like in verse 5 of Matthew 23, "But their works they do to be seen by men." They just want to feel superior. That's the fixed mindset. Verse 6, "They love the best places in the feast." Fixed mindset. Verse 7, "Greetings in the they love greetings in the marketplace and to be called rabbi, rabbi." I said, "Don't be called rabbi." He's telling his apostles this. Verse 23, "For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith." See, these justice and mercy and faith, these are abilities that you develop through a growth mindset. See, the fixed mindset is limited. Tithing, he mentions tithing. Okay. Are you a perfect tither? I dare say many, many of you are. Many, many people in Church of God tithe perfectly. Say, "I am perfect. I'm perfect. I tithe perfectly." And then what does God do? He messes it up by saying, "Okay, you also have to give offerings. I'm not telling you how much." That's your decision. Are you a perfect offering giver? See, you got to get away from good, bad, perfect, imperfect, and think grow, change. You know, that's the message here. Verse 28 of Matthew 23. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You have this ego, this self-esteem. You know, their fixed mindset was that their position defined them. It defined them. You know, it's not like, going back to Kobe Bryant, it's not like winning made him happy. Winning was happiness. He defined himself as being a winner. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And so he lists all these things. You know, these are abilities. Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, brotherly kindness, brotherly love. All these things are abilities that we develop. And then he says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfulfilled in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, it's what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, if these things are yours and abound, you will be great. Doesn't say that. What does it say here? It says you, rephrasing it, it says you'll be fruitful. Fruitful in what? In knowledge of God. Which you'll grow. And grow. And grow. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. See, God doesn't think in terms of good and bad. He's not thinking in terms of those things. He's thinking in terms of growing in knowledge, growing in character, growing in spirit, growing in grace. Think about growth. In closing, 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's the bottom line. Are you in a fixed mindset? Are you in a growth mindset? We go through these holy days year after year after year to learn the growth mindset. Do you have a growth mindset?